praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you here tonight to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with me. And we're going to read from this very important chapter. And I want to tell you why we're ministering this at this time, and also what we're going to be ministering on. Last year, several of the ladies in the assembly at just different times had come and raised the question around the table as we ate on this vital chapter and this subject. And I did say that I was going to teach on it and that I'd teach publicly on it. It's a very important scripture. And you might think, 1 Corinthians 11, why teach upon this scripture now of all times? Our world is in chaos. The nations are in utter lawlessness. There is a great move to throw out all power, all authority, all dominion. There is a rejection of law and order. Well, that's even more important for us to teach this chapter in this church at this very time. My message tonight is the biblical teaching of head covering. The biblical teaching of head covering. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3, but I would have you know. And it's very important before we turn to the scripture here and read it, that the apostle writing in the very beginning of this teaching on head covering, he begins with this wonderful statement, I would have you know. That means, although you're practicing this already, although you believe this already, I want you to know. I want you to have personal, intimate, deep experience and understanding of what I am about to teach you. It's already functioning. It's already there. You know certain things, but I really want you to be intimate with this particular truth. And here, as we come to 1 Corinthians 11, I want you to realize it's not just mentioned in passing. It's not just something that is vague or uncertain. It is taught thoroughly by the apostle. He gives clear direction. He explains himself. He defends what he is saying. He reasons it out. And in 15 verses, he delivers to the church a clear teaching about head covering. And here in this message, I'm going to give you from this chapter six different reasons why I as an individual believe in this. Do you realize it's about 27 years ago that the Lord opened this truth to me and settled it in my heart? We as a church have met for almost 7 years, and I have never taught on it. I have never preached it. I have never mentioned it from the pulpit and preaching. But I feel compelled that in this hour of disorder, of confusion, of a rejection of authority, that we, the church, must understand about authority, about order, about how things function within the home, within the church, and within society like never before. And I may fail in this tonight. I want to give you six reasons, and you know what I'm like, and this may well turn into a mini-series, I am sure. But I believe it's the right time, and having had several ladies, and even my own wife, over the years said, would you not minister on this, or can I teach the ladies? And I felt it was right that this must be a public meeting where the men are taught as well as the ladies. It's not sufficient for the ladies to be taught on this, but we as a church need to hear. And before I begin teaching this or expounding it or reading the scripture, I want to tell you that as we do, that you visitors that are coming in on our meetings, friends who are going to listen to it later, we're not teaching something tonight that we're going to begin. No, not at all. I haven't just decided that I believe this or change my mind on it. I've been very settled on this for 27 years. Candace has practiced this in the church for some years, and so this is not a new thing. We're not judging anyone else who disagrees with us. We're not criticizing anyone else. Neither are we criticizing anyone in this church. If you do not see this, if you do not believe this, I certainly will not be judging you or criticizing lies in you. If you inquire of me, I'll show you what the Bible says. But all I'm trying to do is hand over to you what the apostles have already handed over to the church. What does the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing. If it's not taught, if it's not preached, if it is not brought forth in the church by leadership, then how can you have faith to believe this? You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading from verse 2 through to verse 16 here tonight. And this is a real time of study. And if we have to, I'll cut off halfway through this message. I've got so many notes, I've tried to confine them. But it's important. You need to know enough about this, either to disagree or to say, no, I'm not convinced. And we will come back and deal with some of the greatest arguments put forth in the church against this. I'm not going to deal with weak arguments, but the very best I can find, either next week or the following week. But reading here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoureth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoureth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man, in the Lord. For as it is written, verse 12. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourself, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you in this hour of crisis across the nations of the world, politically, socially, spiritually, morally, economically, in every area of life. Lord God, what an hour of chaos, of riot, of attack on authority and the established powers. But here in this church, we want to take a stronger hold upon what you teach in the Bible. Lord God, have grace upon us here. Lord God, we're not learning something new tonight. We're not hearing something that we've never been faced with before, but we are being taught, instructed clearly and simply from the Word of God, that we might know more deeply, more clearly, that we might respond to the Word of God with faith, that we might have eyes to see, ears to hear, and even if we have operated in this previously, I pray that you'd take us deeper, that you'd make this a spiritual truth, not just a physical symbol, not just something we do outwardly, but that you'd literally tonight grip our hearts with faith and with deep understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, open your word and help us tonight and give us great wisdom in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to deal here with 6 points if I can, or I'll stop halfway through, but I do want you to understand this. My first point here on the biblical teaching of head covering, or let me put it another way, why I am convinced concerning the biblical teaching of head covering. And I'm going to give you 6 very clear, obvious, and simple teachings that are sitting here in this chapter for anyone to see and to believe and to understand. And you can test everything I say. And I am looking in the weeks ahead. If you have doubts or if you don't understand something, come back to me. I do want to hear the best, the strongest argument against what I'm going to teach here tonight. But my first point here tonight from this chapter, and listen this carefully, I believe this because it is an apostolic ordinance. Why do I believe in head covering? Because it is an apostolic ordinance. Or let me put it another way. Because it was taught, written, and given by the apostles and the writers of the New Testament to the church. Look with me at verse 2 here as we begin our study. Verse 2 of chapter 11. Paul writing, "Now I praise you, brethren," talking to believers, "that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Notice with me in this verse, as Paul begins to teach these 15 verses on head covering, what does he say here in verse 2? "I praise you." He begins before, or as he is beginning to teach on head covering for the local church in Corinth, he begins by telling them, before he teaches anything, "I praise you," concerning this teaching on head covering. From verse 2 to verse 16, he teaches on head covering. But I want to tell you, he's not criticizing them. He's not correcting them. He's not telling them that they're doing something wrong or that they need to start something that they've never been doing before. He's actually beginning by saying, "I praise you." In other words, I'm commending you. I am saying, "Well done, church. Well done, ladies. Well done, men of God in this church." I'm actually encouraging you, saying, "Well done for how you've been operating like this." But notice with me then in verse 17, he says a similar statement, "I praise you not." He's going to start writing on a different subject in verse 17. Verse 2, he says, "I praise you," concerning head covering. Verse 17, he says, "I praise you not." And he begins to teach on a different subject, which is the Lord's table. And from verse 17 to verse 34, the rest of this chapter 11, he begins to teach on the Lord's table. Now I want you to notice here, and you already know this from what we've taught in the church, that what Paul teaches about the Lord's table, he has to correct the Corinthians. There were problems in the church there. So in verse 17, Paul, about the Lord's table, how it's being practiced in the church, he says, "I cannot praise you. There are real problems. You are doing things wrong." And he goes on to teach on that throughout the rest of the chapter. But we're sticking to our subject here, the head covering. When Paul begins, and this is an apostle of Jesus Christ writing to the church of Corinth and writing to you and I now. What does he say? "I praise you." I wonder for a moment, would he praise you? Would he praise this church? If he could see what we were doing over the past 7 years concerning this teaching, and if Paul had a right to us, would he write, would he begin like this? "I praise you for your conduct, how you're operating." Now notice these two things, head covering and the Lord's table, are connected. He encourages one and he corrects the other. Both practices are connected. They're both in the same environment. They both take place in a church gathering publicly when all the members of the church gather together. He does not speak on either subject ever again. This is the only place that Paul ever teaches on the Lord's table. And he doesn't teach the same thing in any one of his other letters to any other church. Does that mean that the Lord's table did not apply to other churches? Of course not. And yes, this is the only place that Paul lays out his doctrine or his teaching as an apostle on the head covering. This is the only place, but also the only place that he teaches on the Lord's table. And I want to note you to notice this first, that they are both symbolic. The Lord's table, to take the cup and to take the bit of bread, it's symbolic. It isn't spiritual as such. The bread is symbolic of something, the body of Jesus Christ. The cup that we take with juice in it is symbolic of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So when we do the Lord's table, we are using something physical, something visible, something that we do when we come together as a church, but it's only symbolic. It's symbolic of a spiritual truth. And it's also, we need to begin to realize here that the same is true of head covering. Head covering is only a symbol. It is not the truth itself. When you practice head covering, you are not fulfilling it. All it is an outward symbol of something spiritual, of something else. It is a reminder to you. It is a visible, physical thing that we look at when we gather together that reminds you of the spiritual truth. The symbol and the actual spiritual truth are not the same. The symbol is a reminder of it. You see, the Lord's table, when we come together, is not a meal. It's not a meal. We don't sit down and come away saying, I'm so full this morning after having the Lord's table. No, it's only symbolic. When we get baptized in water, it is not a bath. We haven't yet had a water baptism where anyone stayed in there and said, Brother Keith, I brought my soap and I brought all my washing utensils and my shampoo because I'm going to have a bath. No, getting ducked under the water is merely a symbol. When you get baptized in water, you don't die. You don't get buried. You don't get resurrected again. That happened when you're genuinely born again. When we take the Lord's Supper, you're not literally drinking the blood of Jesus. You are by faith putting confidence in the blood of Jesus. It's a reminder. We only do that one Sunday a week, as is our custom in this church. Only once a week do we break bread. But you know what? Every day I would exhort you, you should be coming and drinking the blood of Jesus spiritually. And so when we come to head covering in this, all it is a physical outward symbol. But never think that you're fulfilling it all. If you do the outward act, it's only a symbol. It's an important symbol. It's a reminder. But if that's all you know about, you have missed the actual truth. You really have. Let's go a little bit further here. He says, Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. What is the ordinance? He says, I'm praising you because you remember everything that I've told you and you keep the ordinances. Not one ordinance. There are various ordinances. Now, what does this word ordinance mean? Because I believe head covering is an ordinance or one of several ordinances to the church. The word ordinance here in other Bible translations is usually translated as tradition. Tradition. And elsewhere in our King James Bible, the Greek word behind ordinance is translated elsewhere in our Bible as tradition. Now the Greek word is paradosis, and it means something that is transmitted, that is handed over, that is given to you, entrusted to you, for you to keep. It is committed into your hands. In other words, this word ordinance is speaking about a teaching or a practice that is given by the early apostles, by the writers of the New Testament, by the leaders who led the first churches, by those men who walk with Jesus Christ. When it says, I praise you because of how you keep the ordinances. or the ordinance. Do you know what he's saying? He's actually saying, I'm commending you and praising you that you have kept all the things that we've taught you. It says there concerning keeping the ordinance. And the word keep there means to hold it firmly. You see, this is a clear command. What he's about to teach isn't a theory, isn't a choice, isn't an option. It is actually a apostolic teaching. Do you know what the word tradition means? It means God had handed it to the Apostle Paul. He didn't make this up. He didn't decide this. God had actually given him this teaching in order to give it unto the church. Now, this word tradition means it's handed over. It's given over. And that could be something that comes from man, or it could be from God. This word is used 13 times in our New Testament. 13 times the Greek word paradosis is used in the New Testament of something being handed over. 8 times Jesus uses this word. And every time Jesus uses it about traditions, he's speaking about the traditions of men, of the Pharisees or the Sadducees, and it's a bad thing. He's actually saying that these men come and they try to hand their traditions over to God's people. And do you know what he says? Their traditions are men's traditions. They thought them up. They created them. And do you know what it does? It nullifies the word of God. Any teaching that man creates and brings into the church that you can't find in this book will actually destroy the power of God's word. We need to hold fast to what is written in the scriptures. So Jesus condemns the traditions of men. But Paul uses this word tradition or ordinance in two different ways. First of all, he uses it about the traditions of men, and that's a bad thing. But he also, like he does in 1 Corinthians 11, he uses it about the teaching of the apostles. So see here, you've got to understand this on this first point. If an ordinance comes from man, it is wrong. If you can't find it in the Bible, it is wrong. Any teaching of man, whether old or whether new, if it's not written in scripture, it is bad and it'll destroy other teachings in the word. But if that ordinance or that tradition is given by the apostles in the Bible, then it is actually a good thing. Let me give you an example. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 15. And Paul writing again. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Again, he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, now, we commend you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which ye have received of us. So we see here in Thessalonians and again in 1 Corinthians 11 that when Paul is teaching, when he has given things over to the church, he is actually saying, these are ordinances that I am handing over to you. And this ordinance that he is teaching about in 1 Corinthians 11 is called the head covering. It is an actual ordinance not taught of man. Paul didn't decide to teach this. This was from the Holy Spirit. This is inspired of God himself. This was given or breathed out by God in 1 Corinthians 11, and it was handed over to the church. It's not man's teaching. It is actually given by God, and we're meant to hold it fast. Don't let go of it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. He goes further to talk about not only the ordinance, but as I delivered them to you. In other words, Paul's saying, when I was with you at Corinth for a year and a half, I taught you all these things. I already taught these things unto you. Many things. I delivered them unto you. I actually handed them over to you. So this word ordinance and delivered, or these two words, are the noun and the verb of the very same word. And he is saying that he had taught it while he was with them. The teaching of the head covering is an apostolic teaching. It's not man-made. It's not a tradition of the church. It is in your Bible. And it descends all the way from the apostles who received it from God himself and gave it to the first church, and it's been handed down to us in the written scriptures. Again, this word delivered, it's used elsewhere in the New Testament of Paul or some of the apostles handing over the gospel to the church. We don't throw out the gospel because it's a tradition given by the apostles. We hold it tight. So this teaching in 1 Corinthians 11, it's authoritative. It carries the authority of the apostles. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is a biblical teaching, and it has been handed on to you and I. When we got born again, we didn't know that. But as we love the Word of God and read the Word of God, we discover this teaching. It's not man-made. It's not cultural. It came from God himself. Again, we read in Acts chapter 2 that the early church in Jerusalem was encouraged or praised or commended because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What about today's church? Do they hold fast to what is written in the Bible, or do they have strange new dreams and revelation that you can't even find in the Bible? It is time for us to come back to the Bible. Some people say that what Paul taught to the Corinthians, it was only for the church at Corinth. But listen to me carefully. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 17, and Paul writing, he says, as I teach everywhere in every church, and there's many other verses, he says, what I'm teaching you here in this letter, I teach to Ephesus, I teach at Philippi, everywhere I go, I teach all the same things to churches, no matter where they are. I teach the exact same things. You see, Paul's teaching in this chapter does differ from that of the local culture. In the city of Corinth, there were Jews. Do you know how the Jews used to worship in the synagogue? The men put a head covering on, and their women took their head covering off. The ladies wore a head covering on the street, and as soon as they entered the door, you know what they done? They took it off. That's what they done in the Jewish synagogue and even in the city of Corinth. So we know Paul isn't conforming to the Jews. What did the Romans do in the city of Corinth? The tradition of the Romans in their worship was their men and their women, when they went into their temples to worship, they both covered their heads. Men and women both covered their heads. There was no difference between men and women. They worshipped in the same way. They carried out the same act. What about the Greeks in the city of Corinth? Do you know what they'd done? Men and women, when they went into their temples to worship, they both took off their head coverings. So men and women both done the same. No distinction, no difference. They all worship bareheaded. So we see what Paul is teaching here in 1 Corinthians 11. He's not conforming to Jewish tradition or to Greek tradition or to Roman tradition or to Corinthian tradition. He also contradicted even the culture of the city of Corinth. So we see that what is taught here by the apostles is countercultural. It is utterly countercultural. What we have in this chapter is an apostolic teaching. It's got nothing to do with Corinth or the culture of the city or some religious group or somebody who comes into the meeting. This is a teaching straight from God by the apostles given to the church at Corinth. Very, very clear and taught in all of the churches. That's my first point. That's my first point. I believe in head covering because it is an apostolic teaching. The second point here, number two, because it reveals divine headship and order in the church. Head covering reveals divine headship an order in the church. Read with me in verse 3 here. It says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Look at the structure here. And listen to me carefully. This is the truth behind the symbol. Head covering is only a physical symbol. It doesn't make you more spiritual. It is an outward symbolic, and it means something. And here in the second point, I'm going to show you what the spiritual truth is. Before Paul begins to deal with what you do with your head, what you do with covering, do you know what he does? He connects it to the truth, to a very specific truth. And that this truth, in fact, head covering reveals a certain truth. And I believe the truth is headship and order. Headship and order. The outward, either when men don't cover their heads or women do cover their heads, they are revealing a spiritual truth. But look with me in verse 3. He gives a certain order. First is God. God is the head of Christ. Then he says, Christ is the head of man. And third and lastly, man is the head of woman. This is the truth that is represented by the outward physical head covering. In other words, we're talking about divine order. What is the spiritual truth behind this? Divine order. Creation order. It is to be seen in the gathered body of the church. We somehow have to take this truth of the divine headship of Jesus Christ and of the Father over Jesus. Of the Father being the head, of God being the head of Christ. All of this truth, the order, the structure of authority, of submission, all of this has to be symbolically revealed every time we gather as the local body of the church. You see, the head covering reveals the visible and invisible truth of this. The uncovered head of men and the covered head of women symbolize and represent God's divine order. This is the spiritual truth behind our physical practice in the church, behind the head covering. The physical simple practice in the church gathering is to remind us that the church, and to remind the church of the spiritual unseen truth. Now, here he talks three times in this verse about head. And in fact, in these verses, he uses the term head 9 different times. Sometimes head is applied to God as the head. Sometimes Christ is the head. Sometimes man is the head. Sometimes it's the woman's physical head or the man's physical head. So it can be a spiritual meaning or a physical meaning. And it's all mixed in these few verses when Paul uses the word head here. So you've got to understand what does the word head. But do you know what that reveals? This physical truth in the body has everything to do with headship. When you see head covering correctly practiced, it is revealing headship. Authority, a divine structure, or the creation of God at the beginning of time, of man and woman. You see, God and Christ are equal. They are perfectly one. One isn't greater than the other. One isn't more divine than the other. But we're talking about a relationship, a ministry, a structure. They are both equal. And yet they are different. They've got different tasks. Now notice, they don't have the same role. They don't have the same responsibility or the same function. And that's what this begins to reveal. What is invisible in the Godhead has to be revealed in the local church when we gather as well. Men and women, although we are one in Christ, we are equal in salvation. Men are not better than women. And I assure you, my wife is much wiser and far more intelligent than I am. But I want to tell you there is a difference in authority, responsibility, and function in men and women who gather together in the church. And if they operate in that, they reflect the same structure that's invisible between God and Christ. There is a revealing of that in the church. So the invisible becomes visible in the local church. This teaching shows us there's a chain of command, a visible symbol in the church. gathering together reveals God's divine creation order, and it's all about headship. This is the spiritual truth behind the head covering. Do you know what the head covering represents? Authority. Authority. Not submission. It represents authority. In other words, we're under the authority in order to be in authority. In other words, we as the church, if we really reveal that we understand the authority of God himself, we can reveal it and manifest it through the women and the men, not only through a physical act on our person, but also through our heart attitude, our words, our actions, how we function together as the church. Now, staying on this point, notice immediately after he reveals about God, Christ, man, woman, and them being each having a head. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of all men. Man is the head of woman. It's simple biblical teaching. But look how this spiritual truth is suddenly connected into the local church in the next two verses. No longer is it a spiritual truth out there somewhere, but he brings that truth of God's headship of Christ right into the local body. Read with me in verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. So how do men in the local church reveal that God is the head of Jesus Christ? That there is a difference in roles, a difference in function, a difference in calling and task. How do men in the local church reveal this spiritual truth, this biblical truth, this apostolic truth? How do we reveal it? We reveal it by not covering our heads. We're not Jews, neither are we Romans. We have been taught by the apostles that when we come into the church, the gathering of the body, we must uncover our heads. I don't care if your ears are cold tonight. Uncover your head. You know why? It is a spiritual act. Yes, your heart could be wrong. Yes, your actions could be wrong outside the door. But you know what? A man who chooses to do that, when he understands this, when he worships God with a bare head, he is actually doing something. And it says every man praying or prophesying in the local church, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Who is his head? It's Jesus Christ. His head is invisible. Invisible. Therefore, he does not have to cover his head because his authority, his head, is invisible at the right hand of God. Therefore, the Bible teaches that he must not cover his head. But if he is in the church service and he begins to pray, but he's got his head covered, do you know what he's doing? He is dishonoring Jesus Christ. Or if he begins prophesying and speaking forth in by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and yet his head is covered, do you know what? He is dishonoring Jesus Christ. The word dishonor there means to blush or to be embarrassed or to be ashamed. He's dishonoring Jesus Christ. He's making Christ a shame in the assembly. You know why? Because when he uncovers his head, he says, I believe that I am under authority. I believe in this structure. I believe in the creation story. I believe that God has set an order in the church and I submit to it. I believe in it. If you wear a head covering as a man, having read this and having heard what I preach, and you say, sure, I can pray away in the public gathering and cover my head, and sure, my heart is right. My heart is right. It doesn't matter if something physical is there. That is actually very wrong. Do you see how the apostle deals with men before he deals with women? He deals with the man first. If a man has his head covered, in other words, something down over his head, something, anything on his head, like the Jews used to be. They had their prayer shawls. It is a shame. You know, when these Jewish Christians start taking us back to the skull cap, the Jewish skull cap, and say, we're going back to our Jewish roots. That is wrong. Our apostolic roots say a man should not have his head covered because he is revealing the headship of Jesus Christ in the church. but they are allowed hair. Notice this, the man, he mustn't have his head covered. Does that mean he has to go to the barber before he comes to church each time? Does that mean we have to inspect the men's hair and say, no, you need to get all that cut off before you come and pray in this church? Of course not. It's not talking about a man's hair. You're allowed to have hair when you pray. You can prophesy in the church and still have hair. This is actually something. The man has to make a choice, an action, an act of obedience, whether he has his head covered or uncovered. You can't just take your hair off now and then I'll put it back on, unless you have a wig, at the door as I'm going out. No man can do that. You see, a man, when he doesn't have his head covered, is demonstrating he is under the headship of Christ. And in fact, he is operating under delegated authority, and he can stand with authority in the local church. Why? He's a man under authority, and that's what it means. Men in this church, I want you to be gripped by this. You might think, well, we don't need to wear a head covering, so we're not even involved in this. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. When you stand in a public service and you pray and your head isn't covered, from this night on, I want you to have faith. What I am testifying in this church, I'm not acting like a Roman. I'm not acting like a Jew. I'm not acting like our culture with their beanies on or whatever else. You know what I'm doing? I'm saying I believe in the head of Christ. When I pray or when I prophesy to the church, I am demonstrating that Jesus Christ is the head. You know, I was in a church once. Well, I'll save that for a second. I'll come back to that. But that's what he is demonstrating here. It's a dishonor for a man to have his head covered in the public gathering. It would actually mean if a man has his head covered, it means that he is under authority of someone in the service, rather than having authority. It is a denial of God's order, of his creation order. It is a denial of what God has called men to. Responsibility-wise, in your calling, in your role as a man, if you cover your head, then you're denying your place as a man. This is taught by the Apostle Paul to the church. Given to the church. It's an apostolic teaching. And Paul says, whatever I teach in a church, I teach in all churches. You see, a man's uncovered head symbolizes something. It symbolizes authority. It symbolizes responsibility. It symbolizes leadership. It symbolizes the buck stops here. It is a visible authority that you are in authority and that you have authority in the spheres of the family, the home, in social society, and within the local body of Christ. You are demonstrating this truth. That's why I will not cover my head when I'm operating in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what I do outside that environment or when I'm walking down the road, but not in the church. He is to represent or symbolize the headship of Christ within the local body. But then he moves from the men to the women. Remember, it's a truth being revealed in the local gathering. That's how the men do it. But how do the women reveal this? In 1 Corinthians 11 and 5, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Now notice with me, he deals with men first. And you know what? If men don't understand this, you know nothing about head covering. You only have a very shallow. If a man says to his wife, why aren't you doing this? You're in the wrong place. You better make sure that your heart is captivated with this truth. Not just that you have a bare head in the gathering, but that in your heart, you have your head uncovered within your spirit, within your heart, within your lifestyle. How you operate in your life. Are you carrying the responsibility in every sphere of life? Are you taking leadership? Are you under the authority of Christ? If you aren't, and yet you have your head uncovered, it means nothing. It means nothing. It's a beautiful symbol, but to you it means nothing. You see, I once belonged to a church And I saw one of the elders there, and a young man come into the church, and I saw this older elder get very angry, and he said, "Young man, take off your hat." The young man said, "Why?" He doesn't know about the Bible. And he says, it's not an honor unto Jesus Christ. It's disrespectful to Christ to have your head covered in the church service. So the young man took his head off. Now I knew that elder utterly rejected the teaching that women should have their head covered. Utterly rejected it. And I'm standing there almost laughing to myself, going, the same man who'll go to 1 Corinthians 11 and say no man should have his head covered in the service actually doesn't believe the other part of it. He doesn't believe it. He only believes half of it. Half of the symbol in the local church. So notice with me, women are involved with this as well. They really are. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all as one as if she were shaven. As if she were shaven. Now notice here it says about her head being uncovered. If a woman sits in a public church gathering, and I didn't teach this, I'm not putting a guilt trip, no condemnation here, we're free, this is something we're teaching new. I don't condemn anybody who doesn't walk in this, but you need to wrestle through this. You need to know what you believe. I am challenging you to study the scripture for your own self. And here in verse 5, he talks about a woman coming into the church service and her head isn't covered. She sits there, she prays, she worships, she prophesies, she's singing in the church service, but her head is not covered. In other words, she does not have anything down upon covering her head. She has not failed. There is nothing to hide her head or to cover her head. Now listen to me. This word covered that is used here is never once used in the New Testament. The Greek word is never once used in the New Testament about hair. Neither is it used in Greek culture of hair. Never. It always actually is talking about a cloth material put over the head. That's what it means. So it talks here about a woman who does not have any material upon her head. It doesn't say her face. We're not talking about like the Muslims covering your face. That isn't what it teaches here. It's talking about a woman sitting in the church service and she has nothing on her head to cover, to be a physical symbol to show that she's revealing a truth in the local church, an invisible truth being revealed physically by a actual symbol. You see, when the woman does not cover her head, what does it mean? They suggest that they have equal authority with the man. They're actually denying the authority of the man. They're saying, I'm just as good as you. I'm equal like you. And please, can I say a word here? Don't start trying to tell sinners that all of this explaining, it's a non-issue to a sinner. Don't even go there. Just tell them that God has created man and woman equal. Man is not better or greater than woman. They are not. They are equal in salvation. They are equal in their relationship and fellowship. They are equal before God. But they're not equal in their function or their ministry or their specific responsibilities. That is very different, and we need to realize this. But when a woman doesn't cover her hair, according, it shows that she is denying or doesn't believe the scriptural teaching. They're actually claiming a position of authority or headship or responsibility that the Bible does not allow. Now, what does the covering reveal? The covering on a woman's head reveals her right, her position under authority, all of her calling under that. It means that she has a respect for divine order, for the teaching of the apostles, and for the practice of the church. When she covers her head as she comes to pray or to prophesy or to worship God or to gather in the local church, when she actually puts a covering up over her hair, do you know what she's saying? She's saying amen to this authority structure between God and Christ and about it in the local church as well. She's saying, I believe in structure. I believe in order. I believe in revelation. And in fact, I believe there's a difference between men and women. The Greeks worship the same, men and women. The Romans worship the same, men and women. But the Christians don't do that. We actually worship with a distinct physical symbol to show a man isn't the same as a woman in the church or in the home or in society. God has created us uniquely, and we complement one another. You see, it is a symbol. A head covering is a symbol of submission to God, His Word, and what He has ordained in the function of the church, home, and society. It does not mean or symbolize that every woman submits to every man. And hear this, ladies, just for a moment. No, not at all. It means that she actually acknowledges the function and the difference of men and women in their different roles and their different functions. That's what she's acknowledging. She's saying, I'm not the same as a man. I don't need to carry the same burdens as a man. I don't need to act in a certain way as a man. And also the men are saying, when they don't cover their heads, you know what? I'm not a woman. I'm not feminine. I'm not weak-willed. I'm not there, not carrying my responsibility. I'm going to be here to fight. If someone is going to stand at the front, I'll stand at the front. If someone has to go first, I'll go first. If someone has to pray through, I will pray through. Saints, we need to realize that in our church, in this chaotic hour, amongst transsexual activities, all that's being taught in schools, all that is flooding our society, we need to re-establish. What an important time for us to teach this, like no other time, maybe in this generation. This is a time for us to say, a man and woman are different. We look different, we act different, we believe different, and there's a different calling from God. When a woman doesn't cover her head in the gathering, it says she dishonors her head. Who is her head? It is the man. You know, a woman who will not, does not, reads all of this and makes a decision. I mean, she knows what it's saying. She sees that clearly. I know there's godly women out there don't believe this, and I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about women in the church, and they see what this says, but they say, I will not cover my head. I refuse to cover my head. Do you know what they're doing? They're bringing a shame upon men. They're disrespecting men. They're disrespecting the position of men. They're bringing a shame on this teaching. And if a woman says, oh, I love Jesus, I worship God, but I'm not going to do that, then you are actually denying the headship of Jesus Christ in the local church. Notice with me for a moment here. You can understand why I said I won't get through all of tonight here. I had to cut all my notes down to four, and then I said I'm going to have to chop it in half again. But this is important stuff as we reestablish the truth of God, as we teach and understand and come to an experience of knowing this and hold it fast. Do you know what? There's so much meat in this teaching, and it's not being taught to this generation of the church. Notice with me that in both verses, with men with an covered or uncovered head and women with an uncovered head, it's speaking about when they pray or prophesy. Do you know what prayer is? It's when you speak to God. Prophesying is when you speak to man for God in the church. And it's not preaching. Prophesying is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And a woman in the local church, if her head is covered, can prophesy to the church. What is prophesy? It is edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's not prediction. It's not prediction. So notice here, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul teaches head covering. Then after that, he teaches the Lord's table. Then after that, in chapter 12 through to chapter 14, he begins to teach on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's three teachings here. head covering, the Lord's table, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what some churches do? They say, we believe women should cover their heads. We believe in the Lord's table, but we don't believe in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. So they keep two things and they get rid of the third thing. And yet it's all taught to the same believers with the same authority for all time. Then you get other churches who say, oh, we keep the Lord's table, but we don't believe in head covering, and we don't believe the nine gifts are for us, but we'll keep the Lord's table. Then there's still others in the church, and what they say is, we believe in all the gifts of the Spirit, we believe in the Holy Spirit, but you know what? We reject this teaching on head covering. It's not for us today. And you know what? The Lord's table isn't that important. We'll have it sometime. Or it doesn't matter how we practice it. But we do believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You know what? I want to be a church. I want us to be a church that we believe in the head covering. We believe in the Lord's table. And we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. You know, when it deals with a woman either not covering her head or covering her head, and the man covering his head or not covering his head, it always deals with prophecy. And if you believe in head covering and yet say, I don't believe in prophecy for today, then you're choosing, you're making a decision to keep what you like and reject other teachings. I don't want to do that. I want it all together. I want to keep it all together. It goes on here to say that when a woman doesn't cover her head when she prays or prophesies, it's even all one as if she were shaven. Do you know in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 21, if a woman is shaved, it's a sign that she is a slave. It's a sign of being a slave. In Numbers chapter 5 in the Old Testament, if a woman is shaved, it's because she is guilty of adultery. In the city of Corinth, if a woman had her head shaved, it was a sign that she was on the lowest rung of all. She was the most poor, or she was a slave, or she was the scum of the city. She shaved her hair. And it was actually a symbol that she had no money, no rights, and no future. What a terrible state. But this is what the Lord's saying. He's saying, you ladies, if you're not going to cover your head, then you might as well shave your head off. If you're going to come into the local church with your hair and begin to pray and to prophesy, and some of you ladies, I can just read your thoughts now. You go, if I come in without a head covering, I don't have to pray. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. I assure you, I'll help you in that all right. But now I've distracted myself from what I'm saying here. Where was I? But it says in verse 6 here, for if the woman be covered, if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. If you're not going to cover your head, then be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. He uses two things here. He said, you ladies, if you're going to come in and pray and worship and prophesy and you're not going to cover your head, then be shorn or be shaven. The word shorn means to take scissors and cut all your hair off. The word shaven means to take a razor and to shave all your hair off. That's the option. You can either cover your hair, you can put something on your head and cover your head, or you can shave all your hair off. Ladies, that's what it's like, because you're dishonoring your head. And sorry to tell you, but us men are the head of woman, just like you are our glory. Do you ladies, you might say, I don't want men to be my head publicly in the service. Don't you realize when we gather as a church, you are the glory of us men? I'm certainly not glorious, but my wife, when I look at her, I go, she's a glory in this church. I don't look at Soph and say, isn't he glorious in this church? I don't look at Paul and say, isn't he glorious? I believe the ladies in this church, when I look at them, and I'm not just talking about something physical or something symbolic, bollock on the head. That's only the outward symbol. You know what? When I see this demonstrated in their heart and their life, and they believe this and they understand order and authority and structure and the difference between men and women, do you know what? They are a glory to us men. They are our glory. They literally are a glory unto us. And I'll say more about that again. But notice here, you ladies, you, if you're not going to wear a head covering, then cut your hair short. Cut off your long hair. You can have a nice short haircut that just goes down to here. Do you know what? You've just lost your glory. And if you're not going to represent this teaching in the church, if you're not going to do that, just cut your hair off. Or why not shave it all off together? Why is this? It's because when a woman covers her hair, what's her glory? If women are men's glory, what is a woman's glory? It is her hair. Her hair is her glory. Women are our glory. Do you know, you guys know this, okay? And sorry if I offend anyone in this. But do you know what? If you get a lady, it doesn't matter what she looks like, whether in the eyes of this world she's beautiful or less beautiful. But if she walks down that street and she's got long hair, I promise you, any man who hasn't seen her face, they will gaze at that hair. I'm just telling you a fact. There is something about that long hair flowing that is a glory. Now, this is what the Bible actually teaches here, that it is an actual glory. So what does it say? That if a woman isn't going to cover her hair, she ought to cut it very short or shave it off. Do you know what he's actually saying here? Is that your hair is your glory. And do you know what you do? When you come to worship before Christ, your hair is your glory. You reveal your glory. And yet, that ought not to be. Christ should reveal all the glory. So either you cover your hair, and that way your glory isn't shown. You know, women like their hair. Women look in mirrors a whole lot more than men, and I've met a few men in Limerick who look at themselves a lot in mirrors, and it's a terribly shameful thing. It is unnatural. It is unmanly. When you see a man that overly looks like that, good to be smart. Make sure you're smart, men. Make sure you bath and you wash yourself. But I'm saying here that there is something about a woman. She covers her glory. What a respect. What an honor to God that she covers her glory. If you're not going to do that, just cut your hair short. Because you know what? You're revealing your glory then. Your glory. What you glory in. What you revel in. What you know is a wonderful thing. You're actually demonstrating. You're trying to draw attention to it. And please do not do that. When a woman is covered or uncovered, it is an action. It's not just an item. It doesn't matter what you have in your head. The real issue is you do it, that it's symbolic and that it can be seen by the local church. It has symbolic meaning. It points to a spiritual truth. When you veil yourself or hide your hair, cover yourself or conceal on your head, you're actually testifying. It's a symbol revealing something. Only God's glory is seen in the church. And it does not call attention to your church. Verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. Verse 8, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Let's go on to just my third and final point here. I'll save the other three. We'll go further here. I'm giving you a lot of stuff here because this will be new to a great degree with some of you. But third and lastly of this message, I knew I wouldn't get all the way through it here. But third and lastly, verse 10, and I'm going to finish with this. What's the first reason that I give you? Why do I believe in head covering in the church? I believe in it because it is an apostolic ordinance. Then second of all, I believe in head covering because it reveals divine headship and order in the church and amongst men and women. But third and finally here, because of the angels. because of the angels. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10. And it says there, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And that's my third point here. Why do I believe in the head covering? Because of the angels. Do you see these three reasons why I believe in head covering? It's not because of culture. It's not because of prostitutes in Corinth. I believe this because these are three reasons given by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 to the church. That's what I believe. That's how I interpret this. So let's look at this as we close here. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. Why? Why should she have power on her head? Because of the angels. So notice, ladies, there is something about the angels. It's because of the angels. You're to do something with your head in the public gathering of the church. Look with me again. For this cause ought the woman. Now underline that word ought there. It's used elsewhere in the New Testament. Now this word ought doesn't mean you have a choice. You ought to do it, but you don't have to. You ought to do it, but I know you don't want to. That is not what the word ought means here. This is an apostle writing to you ladies. And he says, for this cause, for this reason, ought the woman to have power on her head. Now this little word ought is used 35 times in the New Testament. What does it mean? It means you owe something, you're obliged, you should do it, you must do it. Listen again, Ephesians chapter 5, 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Now does that mean, men, you ought to do it, but you don't have to? Men, you ought to love your wife, but if you decide not to, of course not. The word ought means you men ought to be. You may not do, but you ought to be. You should do. You must do. There's no excuse for why you do not love your own wife. And it says also in verse 7 here, a man indeed ought not to cover his head. A man must not cover his head, but a woman must or should or ought to cover her head. Now listen to me for a moment. Men and women, this isn't only for the women, it's for the men. If it's a command, then it is not wrong for me to teach it, to exhort it, and for us to practice it. Men ought not to cover their heads. Women ought to have power upon her head. So notice with me, the woman ought to have power on her head. See, previously, it talks about the woman should have her head covered. Now there's a change in this verse. A different word is used. Instead of covering, for a woman to have a covering, now a different word is used, and it's the only time it's used. And it's the word power. Now it doesn't say have a covering on her head. It says power on the head. And before I finish here, I want you women to realize this word power reveals what the head covering on a woman symbolizes. The word power used here is the Greek word exousia. It's the word for authority or right or responsibility. So notice with me. The woman in the local gathering of the church, when she prays or prophesies, ought, she must, she should have power upon her head. What is the power? Remember, we were talking about a covering on the head before. Now he says they should have power. That covering is also called power or authority. That's what he calls it. They should have authority upon their head. Not submission. Listen carefully, ladies, for a moment. Your head covering is not a symbol of submission. That isn't primarily what it means. When you wear a head covering in the public gathering, it actually is a symbol of authority. It is the only public outward symbol in the church to represent the authority that flows from God to Christ to man to woman. And that flows into the family relationship, into the social relationships, and into the church. Your actual head covering represents the whole entire biblical New Testament teaching of authority. When you wear a head covering or you cover your head, you are saying, I believe in the biblical teaching of authority. You see, it also says here, there is a time to symbolize the truth of authority in the church. At a certain time, in a certain place, when a certain group of people come together, the women are to cover their head, and when they do, that natural symbol, that natural covering, suddenly becomes a symbol of authority. Why do you do that? Because of the angels. I hope you're understanding this wonderful truth here tonight. You are demonstrating, you are representing. It is a symbol of divine authority. And in fact, the full teaching of authority here. He does not say what to use on your head. This is an action. The covering is an action. And then when he says power, it's talking about the symbolic truth behind it. He does not mention in these verses about a veil or a scarf or a hat. The grammar that's used here in the Greek is a verb and not a noun. In other words, it's not descriptive of an item. It's descriptive of a action. In other words, this is an act. Head covering is an action. It is not just an object. Where scripture ends, liberty begins. I've just taught you what the Bible is teaching. Now you have liberty. Don't get all stressed out. Should it be like this? Should it be like that? Should it be an inch longer? What color should it be? What style shall it be? That is not the important thing. We can talk about those things at some point, but that is not the issue. And do not miss the importance. It is the action of actually doing that. Do you realize in Bible days in the church at Corinth, what would have been normal and natural was to have a mantle around the shoulders. That's what ladies usually done. And when they walked in the church, if they weren't already wearing their covering, they would simply lift up that natural, normal item of clothing and they would draw it up over their shoulders and up over their head. And in that church service, as they do that natural, very physical act, because there's spiritual teaching behind it, it suddenly becomes a object or a symbol of authority in the church. And this is what the early church used to do. You see, it is a timeless symbol. It's a transcultural symbol. It's got nothing to do with culture, nothing to do with generation or the first century. It's got nothing to do with Rome or Greek culture or Corinthian culture. It's nothing to do with that. You see, Jewish women were uncovered when they worshipped. And do you know what? The church, when God instituted the church, women received a greater place of honor. Don't think putting a head covering down to women, and it gives you a lowly place. No, in the Old Testament, or in the Jewish synagogue of Jesus' day, or the Jewish synagogue in Corinth, you know what the Jewish women done? When they entered into the synagogue, they took the head covering off, and that was a symbol that they were a second-rate citizen in the Jewish community. You know, the old rabbis used to pray, Lord, thank God I wasn't born a woman. That's what the rabbis and some very ultra-Orthodox Jews, they still pray today. They not only say, thank God, thank you, I'm not like this poor man here, but say, thank God I wasn't born a woman. They believe that in their dead religion, their soul-damning religion. That's what they believe. But the Jewish women used to uncover their heads. It was symbolic. You know why? They really don't carry authority or respect or honor in the gathering of God's people. But you know, in that New Testament church, we're not following Jewish tradition. When a woman puts her head covering on, she could have been a Jewish woman that was born again. And when she comes into that church, now you're going to cover your head. Why is that, preacher? It's because there is a respect. It's important how you function in this church. You're not going to sit in the back row. You're not going to sit there talking away. When you pray, you have a symbol of authority upon your head. You are demonstrating something. You're showing you're under a covenant of grace. You're under the grace of God. You're revealing an entire teaching. You're upholding the biblical teaching. Ladies, when you cover your head in this local church in Limerick, you are giving a message to us men. You're reminding us men, because we can easily forget. You're saying, you men, you better carry your responsibility. You better play the man in the family, in the home, in the church, on the high street, in the workplace. Don't play around with other girls. Don't play around with sin. Be a man. Walk with God. Demonstrate the person of Christ. You men should be representing Christ in the church. And you ladies ought to be representing what the church is to be. What the entire body is to be. Of humility. Of submission. Of believing this teaching. Of being different from men. And of men being different from women. It says, for this cause, that you have power or authority on your head. You have a physical, literal symbol on your head. Why? Because of the angels. One of the reasons for head covering taught by Paul is because of the angels. I wish he explained it all, but he doesn't here. He doesn't give a long reason, but he tells you it is because of the angels. Do you know what that means? Every time we gather as a church, every time we begin to pray as men and women, every time a prophecy is given in the church, there are angels present. I don't believe we've ever had a gathering where there isn't some angels present. We don't talk to them, we don't worship them, we don't acknowledge them, we don't feel them, we don't reverence them, we don't do any of that. But you know what? It's because of the angels. I believe in head covering because of the angels. We are demonstrating to the angelic hosts that protect the church, that deliver the church, that guard your lives when you drive in your car, that preserve you from evil, that ministered unto you as heirs of salvation, that during the time of temptation come and literally minister strength to you. These mighty angelic beings. You know what, ladies, in this church, when we gather, there's going to be angels who are looking in. They stretch their neck in. They listen to the prayers. They listen to the preaching. They're watching our lifestyle. God forgave you. He can never forgive an angel. God showed you mercy. You get a second chance. Angels, when they fell, they never get a second chance. But the elect angels around us, they are looking in. And do you know what? Angels are very interested in authority. They're very interested in authority structure. They're very interested in the order of the local church. And in fact, the church, they learn much from the church. And they learn much about the character and the nature of God through what we do as the church. It has been given to women to have a physical symbol upon their heads. And let me finish with just one final caution here. And it's given in verse 11 and verse 12. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. Neither the woman without the man in the Lord. When you're born again in Jesus Christ, don't think the man can function without the woman. They can't. They can't. Ladies, us men need you. And ladies, I know I can speak for you. If you were to speak, you'd say, men, we need you. We need you to be real men in the 21st century. Study the Bible. Be men of God. Us men say to you, ladies, be real women of God. We don't want harlots. We don't want rebels. We don't want those that are flaunting all that they have. We want women who delight to cover themselves humbly, that Jesus Christ gets the glory. And verse 12, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. You men say, we're the head, we're the great ones, we were created first, we were given divine authority. You know what Paul says here in a closing word on this particular point about angels? He said, men, never forget. Every one of you men in this church, you came from a mother. Oh, what a weakling babe you were. You were as nothing. You wouldn't be here without women. Don't you dare ever think that a man is greater than a woman. It's all. God has forged this together, that men have a function, women have a function, and the function is different in the home, in the church, and in society. And never has this truth been under so much attack as right now. Right now in our nations, authority, order, power, structure, the place of a woman in her dress and attitude and function, the place of a man carrying authority. Oh, the feminists hate it in this hour. They hate that a man would have authority in the home or in the church. They hate it. They despise it. But you know what, church? These are the three reasons I believe in the head covering. And as the Church of Christ, we want to practice this. Let's pray here tonight. Father, I do thank you for this simple teaching. We've hardly got started upon it, but already you're opening up wonderful truths. We're beginning to see this isn't just a physical thing, not just something where we obey without understanding, but there's an entire revelation. Nor God, there's a revealing of the relationship between God and Christ, and an invisible structure of authority and of callings in the heavens above that we are demonstrating in the local church by what we do in a gathering. We are literally creating a structure, a visible sign and testimony, and the angels are looking in upon us, and they are learning. Those angels sent forth to minister for this church actually take note that that isn't a bit of cloth, not a mere bit of material. They cannot see our hearts. They cannot read the motives of the heart, but they look on the outward appearance of the gathering of the church, and they say there's a difference between men and women. They are functioning in unity. They are gladly submitting to authority. They are happy to fulfill their own role. And Lord God, I do thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Will you help us tonight? We open our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you, church. I've maybe opened up a can of worms here, and I don't mean by things we shouldn't be looking at, but I mean by the amount of it, the depths of it, only meant to touch upon it and answer your questions from last year. But I hope you realize what an important truth it is. So God bless you here tonight in this Bible study. Amen.